Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to our home group meeting again, and this time in Snevesbury. Our last home group meeting was in June of 2011, and this is our very first home group meeting, and it is wonderful to have Family Bauer with us, all the way from Germany, all the way from Ludwigsburg. It's just wonderful to have Linda and Sasha and her seven kids, and it's just a pleasure. And so you may hear some German in the background to go ahead and make it meaningful for them. Well, I'd like to go ahead and continue with what I've been sharing on the four anchors of God. And we've got to remember, and let us go ahead and point our spirits back a little bit, that these are anchors that not that we hold on to, but these are anchors that hold us. These are anchors in our life that hold us. And it's not something that we can hold on to so that we don't get in trouble and fall out of the way. But it is something that will hold us sturdy and secure and firm and safe. These four anchors are something that will be able to hold us and prevent us from getting in trouble and falling away from the things that God would have us to do. Back in June of 2011, the second anchor we looked at was God is leading us. Make no mistake, in our lives, God is always leading us. There is a way that each and every one of us have to go. Elizabeth, there is a path that God has for your life. That path is different than Alex's, or Matthew's, or Joe's. There is a way, even you Christian, there is a way that God has for you to go. And God will lead you in that if you allow Him to. And that's one of those nice things about being a Christian, is God is ever leading. Well, tonight what I'd like to do is talk about the third anchor. That third anchor, and that's taken from Exodus 13:21. Read it from the King James, and it says, "And the Lord went before them by day and night, and a pillar of cloud to lead them the way." Just like God leads everyone in this room a certain way, the people that the Exodus is talking about is the children of Israel. God led the children of Israel 40 years in the desert. 40 years in the desert, He led them a certain way. He led them a certain way. He led them with a pillar of cloud at night. Now, you know, I don't know if we're in the desert or not, but the desert gets very, very cold at night. But in the daytime, the desert gets very, very, very hot. And God would put this cloud over them to keep them cool from the heat. And at night, He would use a pillar of fire. And that verse goes on, and by the night, in a pillar of fire, to give them light, to go day and night. To go day and night. Wendy, you want to go ahead and read Exodus 13:21? Or Sasha?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
the one
that with the Herr zog vor ihnen her, hat am Tage in einer Wolkensäule und sie den rechten Weg zu führen. Und bei Nacht in einer Feuersäule, um ihnen zu leuchten. Damit sie Tag und Nacht wandern könnten.
Okay, thank you, Sasha. Okay, at the end of that verse it says, to give them light to go day and night. This third anchor is a guide for us so that we can go and move in the day and the night. God expects us to move in Him in the day and night. This third anchor, this third truth, is a light in darkness. And what we're going to do tonight, we're going to talk about darkness. Darkness is a wonderful place in God. Did you know that? Darkness is a wonderful, wonderful place in God. We will look at that. But this third anchor is a light in darkness. It is a very necessity, and it is a most comforting anchor. Without this anchor, we will stumble and fall out of the way. Without this anchor to be able to move in darkness, we will stumble and we will fall out of the way that God has for us. All of the paintings that I have seen of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, not one painting was true that the Bible records. Did you know that the children of Israel, when they crossed the Red Sea, when Moses had that rod, and he said, waters open up, or whatever he said, and the Red Sea opened up, and the children of Israel walked across on dry land, what a miracle. But if you watch it on TV or whatever, you always see them doing that in the daytime. But that's not true. The children of Israel, when they crossed the Red Sea, it happened in darkness. It happened in night. In our Christian walk with the Lord, darkness is very important to us. Just think, when did Jesus die? In the daytime or in the darkness? In the darkness. Jesus died in the ninth hour. There was darkness upon the earth. The first covenant that God had with man was made in darkness. There is an understanding of darkness that most Christians do not enjoy, because darkness to a lot of people is kind of, I don't know. But in God, there is a darkness that if we know how to move in that with this light that God gives us, it will be a wonderful blessing. Amen. God requires night travel into darkness. God expected the children of Israel to travel at night. And we must really come to know this. And we must know that it is better to know this, because one of these days we will wake up and we will find out we are in darkness. In God, it is better to know God and His ways than to know even what God wants for our life. It is very, very important that we have this understanding that it is better to know God and the way that God operates in our life than what He even wants in our life. A lot of times we want to know why, and we want to know all of the answers. But don't worry about the answers. Don't worry about why things happen. Don't worry about that. We need to worry about knowing God. Because if we come to know God, then all the answers will take care of themselves. Our life will just unfold like a map if we have that understanding of God. And in that, our life, we even must travel in darkness. Sometimes we will wake up in the middle of the night and wonder where we are going. We may simply think we are wandering aimlessly in a particular distressful situation. It is good to know before we encounter the many difficulties in our lives that is related to night travel. If we know God, our way will be sure, and we will be able to endure life. No matter what we face in life, there is no situation in our life that we cannot endure if we know God. If we really know God, there will be no problem in our life. There will be no sickness, no bankruptcy. There will be no situation in our life that we cannot overcome and endure as long as we know God. And if we really know Him, then we'll be able to endure anything that comes our way. God takes us onward, traveling at night. And how does God expect us to see? Well, that verse told us, God will give us a light in darkness. Now, oftentimes, in the nighttime, and in difficult areas and problems in our life, we refer to these things as being darkness and confusion and all of this good stuff. And we will experience that in life. Dieter, we pray for Dieter. He has Parkinson's. Right? And we pray for him that God would heal him. But in that darkness in Dieter's life, God has a flashlight. God has some light that he would like to shine into his life to help him endure that Parkinson. Yes, as we onward go at night, God expects us to travel at night with a light. He led the children of Israel day and night, and he goes and he gave them a light. And now the most difficult point of time is between when we plunge into the darkness to when we find our flashlight. So when we wake up one time and we're in a problem and it's just, we just don't know what to do, to when we find the light that God has for us, that is the most difficult point in our life. And that is when many Christians just fall out of the way and they give up. Most Christians never come to know God. That's a pretty bold statement, but that's true. Many Christians never come to know who God is to any degree, and they never receive the light that God has for us, and they get lost in the darkness. And I promise you, if you're alive today, you will experience darkness in your life. God will see to that. And there will be darkness with problems and stuff like that. And then there will be another type of darkness that we will talk about today. Amen. But most Christians never ever come to know God. Our life on earth is not about being successful in business or marrying a wonderful wife like Linda. That's not what's important. Or having BMWs, Mercedes, that's not what our life is about. Our life on this earth is about knowing God. Knowing God. That's it. That's our primary goal in this life, is to come to know God. And when we get into problems, when we get into trouble, God has a light. When we get into the darkness, oh, what's going on? I don't understand. God says, here's a light to help you out of that darkness. Now, there's two types of darknesses. There's two types of darkness. The first darkness is which arises or comes from sin. Ouch. Two types of darkness. The first one comes from sin. And it is darkness that is filled with unhappiness and leads the Christian to eternal death. There's two types of darkness. The first one comes from sin. Us willfully turning our back on God and doing things that we know that is not right. And the second type of darkness is darkness which the Lord allows in our inward parts, in our spirit, in order to establish virtue in us and establish a settlement in us. God will allow this spiritual darkness into our life to settle us and establish us. And that word virtue means to strengthen. And it's actually in the Greek, when you think about that, it's like someone holding their arms up and flexing their muscles. That God will allow the spiritual darkness into our life so that it can settle us, it can calm us down, and it can build strength in the inward man. Because this body someday will fall into the ground. I will not be as good looking as I am now. I will not be as strong as I am now. One of these days I will fall into the ground physically. But the real David is the inward strength. If the inward David, the inward man is strengthened, then I will always, always, always be strong. That second darkness is a type of darkness in which the Lord allowed in our inward parts, and it is to establish and settle virtue. This is a happy darkness because it is illuminated, which is revelation, as we were talking about, in our inward spirit, and it strengthens us and it gives us life. Did you know that God lives in darkness?
Wow.
I am the light. Yes. Listen here. Genesis 1. Genesis 1, 2. Second chapter. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But God was there. God was there in that darkness. He was there. He is there, He is here, and He will always be in the future. Even when there was darkness over the deep, guess what? God was in that darkness. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. And He was in the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, guess what? Let there be light. So here's God in the darkness, even in creation, in the first chapter of Genesis, there's darkness there. And God is right in the middle of that, right in the middle of the darkness. And then He said, let there be light. Just like the children of Israel, when they were walking in the darkness in the desert. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, yes. And all of a sudden, God led them a certain way, and He gave them the light. See, that's important for us to understand, because if God does that for the children of Israel, then He will do that for us. Anytime we get into a problem, situations that we cannot overcome in our life, God will give us a light to see through those problems. Isn't that amazing? Now, I talk to a lot of Christians that says, God doesn't create evil and darkness. That's of the devil and all that good stuff. Well, that's not true. Let's go to another verse here that a lot of Christians, some Christians that I know, would rather say, I wish these verses wasn't in the Bible, because they don't know how to handle it. Here in the book of Isaiah, here's Isaiah 45:5. I'll read these. It says, I am the Lord, and there is none other. There is none other. There is no God beside me, and I will gird you. That word gird means to strengthen, virtue, establish you, gird you. It says, I will gird you through your, though you have not known me. Verse 6. That they may know. Whether you're ready for this, from the rising of the sun to the setting, that there is no one beside me. So that was very neat that you picked that song. From the rising of the sun. That, you know, comes right out of the text that we have right here. That there is none like me. I am the Lord, and there is none other. I am the Lord, and there is none other. Verse 7, here we go. I form the light, and I create darkness. God creates darkness right here. I make the peace, and I create, or I make peace, and I create. The word here in the New King James is calamity. In the King James, it's evil. I am the Lord. I do all of these things. Wow. I do all of these things. Believe it or not, God is in the center of darkness. And God creates darkness. And He creates darkness, that spiritual darkness, in our lives so that we can be strengthened with might in the inward man. God allows us situations in our life to make us better people. And that is the darkness that God creates. And I could go on, and we could look at Genesis 15:12, where it talks about God created the first covenant with man, the Abraham covenant, Genesis 15:12, that was done in darkness. And actually, Abraham's response to the covenant that God, shared with him, he referred to it as a great horror. He just couldn't understand. I mean, it just wow, Trust me, God operates in the darkness, and He expects us to move in the darkness. We must never rush out of the spiritual darkness when we find ourselves in there. Now, the evil darkness comes out of sin. Stop sinning. Stay out of sin. But that spiritual darkness, go ahead and you want to stay in that. Linda, I see your hand, and I will answer it after the teacher.
Out of that darkness, and you must darkness, and have not seen Jesus. Out of darkness, blind. Paulus.
Yes.
That's blind.
Yes.
Paulus
ist ja blind geworden.
Yes.
Ist auf darkness.
Yes.
Damit ist to see Jesus.
That he has to see Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Hold that thought, and we'll talk more in detail after I get done. That's okay. Okay. So we must never rush out of the spiritual darkness in which we find ourselves in. It would be well for us when we come into this place of spiritual darkness that God has arranged for us, that we stop all of our running around and struggling and searching and just wait for the Lord. So people say, what do you do when God leads you into this spiritual darkness so that you can be established? The best thing to do is nothing. It's nothing. Do not try to find the answer. Do not try to do anything. Just push into God further and allow Him, or just come to know Him in a greater way. Remember, if we can understand God gives us a life, then we will have this third anchor. It would be better for us to stop all of our struggling and stuff like that, because we know that God will give us that light, will give us that flashlight. It is in times we find ourselves in darkness, it is the best thing for us to do is just to push into God and learn the lessons that He desires to teach us. When God allows spiritual darkness in our lives, there is a lesson He wants us to learn. I'm going to say that again. When God allows spiritual darkness into our life, not sin, but the spiritual darkness, when He allows us to walk in the spiritual darkness, it is because there are some lessons He wants us to learn. There's something He wants to teach us. And this can only happen in darkness. Amen. And God will give us that revelation, and in great darkness in our life, we will come to clearly see Him. God provides us a light in darkness. And this is an anchor which will help prevent us from falling upon the rocks in the dung heap. There are some people who do not know God provides a flashlight to walk in darkness. And they go stumbling and bumbling along and falling into all kinds of unpleasant messes, getting cuts and bruises and crying. Many Christians, day after day, go to church pretending and imagine things of God while sinking further and further in despair. I think one of the saddest things that I see in my Christian walk is when I go to church and I see people and I know they are pretending. They are pretending, they do all of the religious, the bowing down, and they lay on the floor, and they do all of these spiritual things, and they're pretending. It's terrible. That's not what God wants for our life. Or I see when I go to church, You know, and I talk to Christians, and they are imagining things. They are thinking in their minds that this is happening and that is happening, and they have a greater walk with the Lord when their outward life does not reflect that. That's not what God wants in our life. God wants us to be real, and God wants to bring this revelation of who He is into our life. And He wants us to walk into that darkness, and He wants to be able to give us that flashlight, that light in darkness, so we can see where we're going. The children of Israel, they do not believe. Many people do not believe there could be such light in intensive darkness. They believe many things were not true. How readily some believe the suggestions of a liar, while others belong to believe the Word of God. But for those who believe the truth, this spirit anger is available. We see in the church a lie is more believed by Christians than the truth. I find it amazing when I go to different churches and I see different doctrines that are not found in the Bible and that are taught, like the prosperity doctrines and all the other doctrines, that's not found in the Bible, but these doctrines are believed more than the truth of the Word of God. The word that's in the Bible, that's not believed, but people would rather pretend and imagine and make things up. That's darkness. And they believe that instead of what's in the Word of God. Job wrote here in Job 29:3. Wonderful verse right here. Job 29:3 says, "By His light I walk through darkness." Now Job had a very, very difficult time in his life. By His light, by the light of God, he walked through darkness. God gives us a light, and we must see these times of darkness as a time to persevere in our inward pursuit. It is a manifest sign that God, in His infinite mercy, is seeking to bring us into this inward path. How good this will be in the result if we embrace these times with peace and with resignation. Such times are for our spiritual growth and development. These times when God brings us into the spiritual darkness is not to scare us, it's not to cause alarm, it is to settle us, it is to make us stronger inwardly, and it's bring us to a place of peace and resignation, just to give up and quit. Such times are for our spiritual growth and development. Often God, like Job, will lead us into darkness to see our responses to qualify for the next thing He has for us. Many people say, why do good things happen to bad people? Well, I will tell you, most often, God will allow things into our life. He will bring us into spiritual darkness for one reason, and that is to see our response. To see how we will act. To see what song we are going to sing. I remember one of the first times I went to Israel. I went for a walk, and I happened to come across this potter. And this potter, he had this pot in the kettle. And I was watching him, and I stood there for a little bit. And I noticed he put the pot in the kiln and he closed the door. Now the kiln is what heats the pot up. And I thought to myself, how will the potter know when the pot is done? Because he can't see the pot. The pot is in the fire. The pot is on fire. How will he know when the pot is done and to get it out? And so I stood there, and finally I asked him, I said, "Excuse me, sir, how do you know when the pot is done?" And he looked at me and he said, "The pot is done when it sings the right song." And I said, "What?" He said, "The pot will be done when it sings the right song." And he said, "Listen." And I listened. And I could hear inside the fire it was a sound that the pot was making. And he said, when the pot makes a certain sound, then the pot is done, and I will get it out. Well, that is the same thing with God in our life. God will allow situations into our life. God will allow us to walk in that spiritual darkness, as I explained, so that He can see what song will we sing. When we go through problems in life, and I promise you we will go through problems in life, will we sing, "Woe is me, life is terrible, oh, life is terrible, I'm going to eat worms," or whatever? Or are we going to sing, "Glory to God in the highest"? Are we going to be joyful when we go through situations like that? Are we going to sing, "Nobody knows the troubles that I have seen"? God will allow things into our lives as He works and conforms us into the character and the image of His Son, so He can see what kind of song, hear what our response is going to be. God is listening for a joyful response. God is listening for a response that will glorify Him in these situations in our life. And if we persevere in God, He will give us a light which grows and increases in the midst of this darkness. No matter what situation or no matter what problem that is in our life, if we persevere in these situations, God will give us that light. Often it is in times of darkness, wisdom and strong love are begot. When we go through difficult problems in life, we come to love deeper and we understand mercy and suffering a lot easier. But it is the same thing with a husband and a wife. When a husband and a wife first gets married, they don't have a lot of money, they don't have a big fancy car, and they go through some difficult times. But it's those difficult times that bring the husband and wife together and make them stronger in their love for one another. It gives them a relationship that is built. And it's the same way with God. The problems and the areas that we go through in our lives, if we persevere through them, and if we have the right attitude, because God's looking for that right song, it will build in us. It will build in us that stronger love, and it will give us greater wisdom in that. It is in this time of darkness, not in the times of great outward spiritual joy, that our self-nature and self-seeking is dealt a death blow. It is in these times of spiritual darkness in our life, God is able to whack our spiritual self, our pride, our haughtiness, our attitudes. It is in these times that God can begin to work in our hearts and bring us down into a low place where God is. God is not way out there in space. Oh, no, no, no. God is right down here with us. Remember the spiritual condition, the way up is down. If you desire to go up with God to heaven, then you must go down. Because Jesus is lowly in spirit. He's low. Jesus is way down here. He's not high, mighty. Oh, no, 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 no. In power He is, but in attitude and heart condition, He's down here. And if we desire to go up with Him, then we must desire to go down, down. And there's even a spiritual principle that says, as low as you can go will be as high as you can go. So the lower you can go in God, the lower you can bring yourself down, the lower in your mind you can see that you're not all that great. You're not. The lower you can go in your heart condition, the more humbleness, the more gratitude, all of those things you can have you know, you can come down, the more you will be exalted by God. Remember, God exalts the humble, but He humbles the exalted. You know that? God exalts those that are humble. So if you're humble and grateful and caring, God will exalt you. But if you are exalted and you think you're somebody important and somebody great and I can do this and I can do that, I'm going to tell you right now, God will humble you. He will bring you down where He is. Amen. Amen. So we must, persevere, through God. Images and ideas and wonderings and all of these hindrances and these things will give us a distorted view of God and as His way. So we must allow God to work in our life and remove these ideas and these wanderings and these other hindrances out of our life so that He can be able to work in us. It is a time of darkness in our life that we see God much clearer for the one who holds all of the answers. Last of all of the Lord uses darkness to purge our outward senses. God uses the spiritual darkness to purge our outward senses. This purging is necessary for our inward progress. Now notice those two words, outward and inward. We like to be an outward man. We dress, we spend all this time on money and clothes and makeup and all that good stuff. But remember, this physical body, this tent, this tabernacle, one day will fall into the ground. We need not be so concerned about what you see here, but we need to be more concerned about the inward man, of what is, of what is in here. And God will use His spiritual darkness in our life, His spiritual darkness, to purge us of our emotions, and will purge us and enable us to have an inward progress toward Him. We are soulish outward. We are soulish outward. And we are spiritual inward. We are spiritual inward. And both cannot be developed. Both cannot be developed. And within us, there is a struggle between our in our soul to be selfish, to be self-seeking, to be, all of those things in our life. And then there is that spiritual side, that inward man. So you have that outward and you have that inward. And they're struggling against one another, and both of them cannot be developed. One will overcome the other. One will always overcome the other. And God wants that inward man to be overcome. He wants that inward man to overcome that outward, soulish man. But they cannot both be developed at the same time. Unfortunately, I see a lot of Christians that are out there developing that outward man at the sake of that inward man, and that is not what God wants. One will dominate the other. Either the outer man will dominate the inward man, or the inward man will dominate the outward man. But they cannot both be developed together. Amen. The closing verse says, do not particularly try to seek a way out, as I said, of this spiritual darkness. If you find God is working in your life in this area of spiritual darkness, and you go, wow, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. I just don't understand what's going on. Don't be alarmed. Relax. Be settled. And allow God to go ahead and work in your life. Push further into Him. Say, okay, Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but my faith and trust is in You, and I'm going to go ahead and continue. Amen. We should not run out of the spiritual darkness. And most of all, do not stop coming to the Lord. And in our times of faithfulness and those times that spiritual riches and blessings were at the highest, learn to be content with the darkness of God. He will bring you out in time. Do not try to look for some emotional or even tender devotional some tender devotion, toward God. A word about our emotions. Our emotions are very dangerous. Our emotions are very, very dangerous. And they are more dangerous if you're a Christian, if you try to make your approach to God with your emotions. Do not do that. Even if this is emotional, this tender, devotional time, God is not looking for that. We must only express our desire to Him and to be His good pleasure. Otherwise, we will simply go in circles throughout our life and not take one step toward our inward progress. So many Christians are caught up in their emotion and they're trying to feel God. And if I can hear the right song, if I can hear this, or if I can do this, or whatever, then I can get to God. Well, that's not true. Hearing the right song will not get you to God. It gets your emotions up, and it gets you emotional, but it will not get you to God. And we must not allow our emotions to dictate, our ascent to God. An emotional experience with the Lord must not be our goal, for that is not God's goal in our life. Let me say that again. An emotional experience with the Lord must not be our goal, for it's not God's goal. Be careful of your emotions. Often they will lead you astray. Emotional issues also will get us quickly off track. Remember, in everything that we face, at the heart of every issue of our life, it is an issue of our heart. It's the issue of our heart. And so when we engage our emotions in that, then we will get off track. When God is working in our life, and it's an issue of our attitudes and our heart, when we get our emotions involved, well, I can't believe he said that to me. Well, who does he think he is? Or whatever. We get our emotions hurt. We get our feelings hurt. Then we get off track. And we get upset, right? We've got to be very, very, very careful with our emotions. In darkness, God provides the light, that anger. And it's a truth. And we must see which direction that He has for us to go with that light. So in the darkness, as we walk in the darkness with the Lord says, here is that light. Here is the light. Now use that light to see what direction that I want you to go. As I've been sharing tonight, you should be able to see there's like a progression, point of how that goes. We talked about that, that darkness, and we talked about that extensively, how God uses that darkness in our life. And now, at the end of the teaching, God gives us that light. He gives us the light. Not to say, okay, I got the light. When Hurricane Irene came by, and we had no lights here. Man, we had candles, and we had flashlights. And that was wonderful, but we really couldn't see where we were going with the candles and the flashlights. But if we had our lights over our head, we could see a lot easier. God gives us that light. He gives us that light so He can see, or so we can see the direction that He wants us to go. Sadly, many Christians do not take that light. And they never know the direction that God is going, wants them to go, and they get off track. In darkness, God provides a light and an anchor and a truth to see which direction to go and how to proceed. Darkness is a wonderful place, for only in darkness God provides a light to see. Darkness is a wonderful place. The sin of darkness, no. That's bad. That will eternally separate you from God. but that spiritual darkness that God has for each and every one of us to go into, to where we don't know what to do, we can't see, and, you know, then God gives us that light, and then we will know which way to go. Last thought. So many Christians want direction for the future. Well, it is in darkness. The direction for your future is in the darkness of the Lord, believe it or not. God provides a light only in darkness. Only in darkness does God provide a light. That's a pretty deep thought. But the direction for you is in darkness, believe it or not. Because only in darkness does God provide a light to show you the direction that you must go. It's in the darkness that God provides a light to see which way you are to go. But many Christians live in a well-lit, emotional-driven world where their spirit is sickly. The outward man overcomes the inward man, and they can't see that light. We must worship God in spirit and in truth, and both depend on the other. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and for your mercies, Father, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Father, Lord, that you will take these words, Father, Lord, these broken breads, Father, Lord God, and Lord, you will use them and you will bless lives, and Father, Lord, that many people, Father, Lord, will be able to just reach down, Father, Lord God, and when God leads them into that darkness, Father, Lord God, that they will stay there, Father, Lord, and Lord, they will take that understanding, and Lord, they will allow you to give them that light, that understanding, that revelation in the darkness, Father. And they can see, Father, Lord, the way that you want them to go. For, Father, Lord, God, your light is only found in your darkness, Father. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord, God. Lord, we pray all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.